What symbols, symbolism mentioned in your story are most important that you should look out for? Like, what could they be referencing?
Who would like to begin?
Oh my god.
Okay, well, like, I think we had a similar question like this, like, last week.
Yeah.
But I was, like, going, I was looking more in detail, and it was, last week I said, like, me and Theo were, like, for all our stories, it's, like, the tattoo numbers on their arms are a symbol, or, like, how they, or, like, the camp, like, the trains and stuff. But personally, in the tattoos of Auschwitz, there's, like, this part where Lael, the main character, he creates, like, a network, and he smuggles, like, food, extra food, and jewels that could help him survive. But then he also distributes them to other prisoners that are in need. So I think, like, the jewels and the food that he keeps represent, like, how much he cares, even in, like, the hard times that he's in. It shows, like, how much he cares for other people.
Or, damn, that's a nice symbol. What, that's, like, a good symbol of
humanity.
What
do the tattoos resemble?
Wait, Mike, let's ask you.
What does
the tattoos resemble?
Oh, the tattoos? The tattoos?
Yeah, one,
Theo will explain.
Alright, for me, the tattoos are a symbol of, like, for me, the, well, where they are, the concentration camp, like, currently being ingrained in them from that moment onwards, you know, after they leave the camp for their entire life, that's in their skin, and it's always going to be there until they die, well, even after they die, but,
yeah,
it's just, like, something, you know, it was forced onto them, like, that experience, and it will always be there, and it'll be, like, a reminder of what they've gone through. So I guess it's a symbol for, I don't know, just what all these people had to live through.
In my story, it's the swastika, but in the story they don't actually refer to a swastika, they just refer to, like, soldiers wearing, like, red bands. And obviously, you know what that represents, like, and everything, so, that's the symbol that they hint in my story.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, it could represent, like, how they're, like, authority over the prisoners or something.
Yep, over
the striped pajamas.
Over the striped pajamas, juice, yeah.
The thing with the barcode thing kind of reminds me of, like, a handcuff, but it's not really there, so it's like a weird permanent handcuff that they can't escape from, and that's, like, really dark when I think about it. That's what you're looking
at. That's a good reference, though.
I mean, I think it's really obvious in my book because, again, everyone's color-coded and kind of blame who represents who. But one thing that always comes up is every time Darrow feels like giving up, he always thinks back to his wife. And as sappy as that sounds, I feel like from the book now, she just represents more hope. Because before, she was kind of just like a martyr for setting the thing up. And now she just represents hope for the rest of the story, which I think is kind of sweet. But again, really, really sad.
That makes sense.
And I think it will just be continuing on with referencing her more and more every time he feels like giving up. And I don't think much can go from there, but she's just a good symbol of hope, I guess, now.
I like it, yeah. Mine, like I said kind of last week, like, food is very important. Like, the author uses food in a way to really, like, show how dire all the situations are. Like, as I kept reading, like, I kept noticing how my main characters kept getting put on the front lines and stuff like that, and there would always be, like, bomb raids and stuff like that, and there'd be gas, and my main character had to hide in, like, coffins with dead bodies to get away from the gas and stuff, and it was always referenced and put in the character's, like, dialogue, like, his train of thought, like, how he's so hungry, there's no food, there's nothing to eat, he's starving, his friends are starving. And that's, like, a constant thought that's always going through his mind and something bad happens. But when the world kind of changes and they're safe and nothing bad is happening, then it's really, really emphasized how much food is put in front of them and how much they have to eat. So I feel like the author really uses that kind of as foreshadowing because when food starts to become scarce in the book, you start to notice that things go really bad really quickly.
Damn.
That makes sense.
I always forget how sad your book is, Leah.
Question number two.
What important situations, events take place in your story that reveal more about a character or shape them into who they become?
Okay. There's, like, three distinct things that change, like, the main character in me and Theo's book. Like, I keep looking back, like, now that we're all, like, pretty much further into the book or finished.
Yeah.
I was, like, looking back at what events that happened to him that we could have changed, like, the ending of the story. So, like, at the very beginning, our main character is the tattooist that tattoos the numbers onto the prisoners. And there's this, like, guard, this Nazi guard who stands over him with a gun and stuff. And is supposed to make sure he's doing his job. So what Leo did was he could have just, like, stayed silent, but he made a connection with him, which later on helped him get further and make connections to other Nazi guards in the camp, and they could have led to, like, the overall thing of him, like, eventually finding ways to get out and smuggle extra food. And then there's, like, the one that I mentioned last week about how Leo got caught smuggling the food, and he got put into an interrogation cell, beaten and put in, like, prison with the regular prisoners, and this probably had an effect onto who he became later in the story, because I think he was living on the edge, and he was, like, he didn't really care about the consequences, like, we were talking about the id last week, but after this situation, I think he, like, started to think more about what he was doing and his actions.
Yeah,
he became more conscious.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. I'm just, like, thinking it. Okay, let me. Someone go.
You should go.
No one
go, Ashley.
I'm not moment.
Okay, so one thing that kind of happened was that Darrow is trying to pass as a gold despite being a red, and one of the initiations for a gold is to murder another gold. So he had to do that. But it's kind of weird because throughout the book, he kind of wanted to murder a gold just because, like, the golds killed his wife, the golds were, like, enslaving his people, and then he finally gets to kill one, but this gold, like, is kind of nice to him, and that kind of gave him, like, really bad turmoil, where it's like, why are we just mindlessly killing each other anymore? It doesn't even matter with race anymore, and then he kind of is way more torn down about wanting to kill now, and it really messed him up. So he went from, like, kind of being black and white from good and bad with people, and now everyone's kind of just gray for him, and it's kind of a confusing time for him.
Okay.
Because what do you do when you have to murder someone? You become gray. Anyway. Okay. I mean, from what this book is trying to tell me.
Alright, Lena, you could repeat the question, actually.
Sure. What important situations, events take place in your story that reveal more about a character or shape them into who they become?
Okay, I guess I can give kind of a cop-out answer. It's kind of like what I've talked about last time, too, when he meets the woman that he is infatuated with. I mean, obviously, that's gonna shape him, and it's gonna, like, show, like, I don't know. It also
it gave him some hope, I guess.
Yeah. It also,
like, something to look forward to in, like, a dark
camp. It kind of set, like, the plot point, I think, a little bit too.
It is, and it, like, relates to the id and stuff of last time, which I'm, you know, we're not talking about anymore. But like,
we can.
It's like, yeah, it's like his. It reveals, you know, more of his, like, I don't know, him as a person more than just, you know, trying to survive. It's, like, all of his actual feelings and, like, what he'll do with those. So, I don't know, it changes the way that he looks at being there.
Yep. Okay.
Yes.
All right. I guess it's my turn. I don't know. Or is it? I don't know.
Oh, motherfucker.
Okay, who's going?
You or Leah?
I mean, I don't know. Do you want me to go, Leah?
Sure. This is so hard when we're not sitting in a circle.
So for mine, so when they first arrive to, like, the concentration camp, or, like, when my character, like, he goes from, like, a really nice house to, like, his house, like, in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by fences. He seems, like, very spoiled and everything, but then he's, like, slowly realizes where he is and just matures to the point where, like, he tries to help, like, a Jewish boy that he meets. And I feel like if they didn't move to that place, like, the main character would have never changed. So, I feel like him, like, them moving to the new house that was surrounded by the camp made him, like, realize and made him, like, be more grateful for things that he has.
Oh, yeah, like, it made him realize what his dad actually does.
Yeah.
Okay. In mine, there's, like, a part near the beginning of the book that kind of sets the whole plot point for the novel, where my main character's best friend dies in a raid. He gets shot, and we kind of said this in the last discussion, too, like, I did that he wasn't prioritized because he wasn't a high-ranking officer or soldier, so he died because the nurses and stuff didn't want to put any effort into helping heal him. So that kind of messed my main character up, pretty much for life. And after that, he started to value not only his own life, but other people's around him. So he kind of made the choice that he didn't want to kill anyone anymore. And he kind of puts on this mindset that it's not only, like, because it's on the German perspective, this novel. And he kind of puts the perspective that the other people that he's fighting against, they aren't the only enemy. Like, he is also the enemy, too. Like, everyone is the enemy in war. There is no innocent, really. So, yeah. That kind of sets the plot point.
Sure. wait, how much time have we been talking for?
12 minutes.
We're halfway.
All right, number three. What literary devices are used in your story to change the course of events for the characters and the world around them?
I think in all of our books, it's like foreshadowing is like one of the main literary devices that we use. Like, I don't know. Wait, I'm trying to think in my book how they use like what's a big portion of the foreshadowing they use.
I mean, the beginning of the book opens with foreshadowing, right? Like, the very first scene.
Oh, yeah, it's like a prologue or something.
Like, not exactly foreshadowing, it's a bit more obvious, but...
Like, it explains how he sees the girl, and then all of a sudden it just starts.
Yeah.
And then I think it's kind of, I don't know, is this irony? Where it's like, he's in the camp, and they're trying to ration the food to, like, Lael, the main character. Like, they're trying to make sure he gets, like, just enough to stay alive. But then behind the scenes, he's actually the one, like, keeping the food, and he's rationing it to some of the people in need. So it's like he's kind of working behind what the Nazis are trying to do, and he's, like, keeping more food.
So yeah, that's also mean. Wait, he's right. Jeez.
Yeah, like, no, I don't know how to explain it. The Nazis are trying to keep the food from them and giving them just, like, a little portion, but then Lael is keeping, like, more food and distributing it to the people in need. It's very hard to explain.
I guess that would be, like, an ironic situation, because, you know, it's like a role reversal, I guess.
Mm. Yeah.
It's a good one.
Noel else to say, because my story is just a lot of symbolism. That's, like, it.
Yeah, I think the main
one's... There's no irony or anything.
irony, symbolism, foreshadowing.
It's a very serious book, so there's not like they could add like jokes and stuff.
We should be looking for the similes and metaphors.
Yeah, I wanted that.
All the literature, guys.
So, like, a foreshadowing event that takes place in mine is when they shave, like, Bruno's head, like, the main character of my story, because of lice. And if his head was not shaved, he would have been noticed by the soldiers and not included in, like, the gas chamber, because, like, the Germans thought that he was, like, because of his, like, shaved head. And if his head wasn't shaved, the soldiers would have noticed him and got him out of there. But so that, like, shaved head, like, foreshadows that Bruno would potentially be on the other side of the fence. With all the other Jews.
It's also like a symbol, right? Like the shaved head is like a symbol of even it's like an actual symbol of the guards of who is a prisoner and who isn't, but
yeah. Your guys' stories at least have all like allusions because it's all referencing an actual event.
Oh yeah.
Mine references Earth and that's all I got. That one planet. But you guys all have historic events. Some people, the armies and stuff. That's a literary device, right?
Yeah, that's a literary device.
Yeah.
Alright, that's a wrap.
We can do one more question. Wait, have we been recording for the whole 20 minutes? I feel like we started the recording at like 7 minutes or something.
Recording's at 16 minutes.
Oh, God.
16. So it's still like but 1 or 2.
10 minutes, so.
I think we're okay.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think we're good.
Alright. Mr. Barrington, have a great day when you're listening to this. I just want to say that you're my favorite teacher, so.
Thank you for pushing back the due date to our project.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for relieving the stress levels.
All right, well, I guess that's it then.